jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey. Good morning. Good morning. I'm in a pretty good mood. I just realized I'm in a pretty good mood this morning. Need a little bit of coaching help. You guys are always really good at coaching me. And this brand new iPhone 8, whatever it is, I just got, it keeps saying this. Not enough space to back it up. Not enough iCloud space. Not enough. They want to sell me more iCloud space. So don't come on. You don't have to tell me now, but maybe somebody can email me, tell me how to eliminate some stuff off here so I don't need any more iCloud space. I mean, I don't have that much stuff. I don't even, what is the iCloud anyway? Where the heck is the iCloud? That's a story all its own. Morning, folks. What's that? What's that? Yeah, that's on Hillary, sir. There you go. Man, I've been running with patience the race that's been set before me the last a week ago today. Is today Thursday? A week ago today. A week ago last night, Victor came. He came, remember I told you guys he came in early for the event? And it's telling Michelle as I crawled into the bed last night, I said to her, man, time goes fast. A week ago last night, we were just getting ready to go into this week, last weekend. Man, the logistics of it and who's coming and where they're going to sleep and how we're going to get them there and all that stuff. And I said again, I said, let it be a lesson, man. This too shall pass. Everything passes. And now here it is. It's Thursday already. And I'm looking down the road. Oh, I got to go here this weekend and I got to go here next week. And I mean, phew. That's why we got to live and try to live in the moment and not be distracted and distressed by what you think might happen. Now, I understand covering your bases, but when I was coaching football, we prepared the team at, 7:30, the ball was kicked off. And for the most part, a lot of stuff's out of our control, which way the ball's going to bounce. Yeah, I couldn't coach if I was worried about what might happen. I couldn't coach if I was worried that our quarterback might hurt his shoulder. I couldn't coach if I was worried that our inside linebacker might sprain his ankle. I couldn't coach if I was worried that our fullback was going to fumble the ball. I couldn't coach if I had to be on the defensive all the time, worrying about what might go wrong. If we really and truly believe and understand that we are, the Lord said he would be with us. Lo, he's with us always, even into the end of the earth. And that he said in Joshua, be strong, be very courageous, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. We would understand that there are going to be, during the course of your life, during the course of your day, during the course of your plans, there are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be fumbles. There's going to be drop passes. Every plan that you make, you cannot cover every base. And I love my little wife so much because she's one of those people who always wants to be right there to pick up the fumble. She wants to be right there to knock down the pass. She wants to make sure that everything runs perfectly. And so does Gary Pierce. Gary's kind of a right-hand man we have here at Pass the Salt. Gary's very anal that way too. Well, coach, who's going to hold the water for people when it's time to drink? Or who's going to make sure the water bottles are perfectly stacked? Gary's anal that way, and it's good. I don't live like that. I don't live like that. I would say, hey, just throw the water in the bucket, and we'll deal with it later. Gary said, oh, no, no, we have to have it structured of who gets the water bottle. So much of our lives and so much of the power in your life is stolen from you because you're afraid of what might go wrong. And we got to get past that mentality. Scripture says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, don't read what that doesn't say. It doesn't say all things are good. Say all things work together for good. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So if you're in the will of God and the ball is fumbled, somebody's going to jump on it. And if not, there's going to be another opportunity to make up for it. So many of us are paralyzed because we don't have everything strategically mapped out. Think about Peter. When Jesus was walking on the water, by the way, he's right in the middle of a storm, if I remember right. And they look out on the water, and there's Jesus walking out there. And Peter says what? Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water. Now, two things I know. Peter knew it was the Lord because he said, Lord, if that's you. And a lot of times in our lives, we're trying to figure out if the Lord's in it. Lord, is that you? Lord, are you? Is that you doing that, Lord? Or is it another one? Who is that you, Lord? And so because we don't get a 100% confirmation from the Lord that it's him, we don't take the step. Peter, Jesus said to the Lord, Lord, if it's you, come to me on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now, what do you think happened at that point? Do you think Peter in that boat took an opinion poll? Should I go, boys? Wait, what do you think? Should I try that? Well, you guys over here think, he's telling me, class, should I do it? He said, Peter, you can't walk on water. What are you, crazy? What are you doing, man? And Pete says, I think I'm going to try it.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
What about looking at things this way, though, also? Sometimes through our own, I think it is okay to say, Lord, I'm moving in this direction. Will you bless it? Instead of waiting to hear exactly what God wants you to do, step out and ask him to bless what you are doing. You know, Lord, I've prayed. I've thought through this. I've gotten counsel. I'm going to step out. I'm asking you to bless what I am doing. I think that's another way to move forward. Is a lot of times people are waning. What's got you know, waning? But Lord, I'm going to step out. I feel pretty good about this. I believe it's in your will. Will you bless this as I'm stepping out? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. To a point, it makes sense. And by that, to the point, I mean, listen, folks. The Lord opens doors and he closes doors. He's able to do. If you are walking in the will of the Lord, there will be doors open and there will be doors closed. And you often will take a closed door as a no. And the closed door could be wait, could be not now. There'd be a lot of things. But a lot of us, we never ever step out of the boat. We don't know if we could walk on water or not because we look at things that cannot, the scripture says, look not at things that can be seen. See, if you can see it with your eyes, we think that's true. We think that's real, and that's not always. We've been deceived before, haven't we? Optical illusions. Look, hang on a second. Look not at things that can be seen, because the things that can be seen are temporary. That means subject to change. But look at things that are eternal, because the things that are eternal are unchanging. Okay? And so we try to analyze, folks, listen. Most times in my life, when I've done great things for the Lord, it was never the way I thought I would. It was never the way I would have done it. I simply obeyed and allowed him to bless my efforts. So, Roger, the way I disagreed with you is rather than ask him to bless your efforts, I would just say, just go, and he will bless your efforts if you are in his will. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, just falling back on what you said just a little bit ago about all things work to the good. Man, I've heard so many people, everything works out for the best. It doesn't even remotely say that. But yet that's what people quote out of that verse. That's how easy it is for people to get off track from what the truth of God's word is.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Jared. Yeah. Jared's up.
Me and Dad said this morning, and to tie it in with America, Americans are cowboys, man. That's the difference between us and Asia. It's the difference between us and Russia. And Americans are cowboys. What do you think it was like going out west? Who did they trust in? Who are you going to think about the Puritans going across the Mayflower to a country that had only been known about for less for like 100 years? We only knew this landmass existed for 100 years, and we're going to say, you know what? We're going to go there and we're going to start a colony and we're going to make it Christian and we're going to spread the gospel in this land. We have no idea. And then go back to the Old Testament. And was it Joshua when he goes into Canaan? They only had the two guys. And they're like, oh my gosh, this land's going to be so great. And what? Everybody was afraid. And then what? Guess what? God's going to waste 40 of your years. And he's going to let this entire generation pass away because you were afraid.
Yeah, so. And it's happening to us right now, isn't it? Isn't it? That generation is passing before us right now in front of us. Because why? We're not standing up. Be strong. Be courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. The Lord thy God is with you. Wherever you go, we are. We're allowing. Hey, Jared, pull up there my News with the Use commentary today. The left is destroying our children. Somebody else tried to come in. Dale tried to come in.
Yeah. Hey, coach, man, let me bring it into coaching language, right? Talking about open doors, brother, it's like coming to a football field, the tunnel, it's open. And there's nobody on the playing field and nobody in the stands, but you got to go out onto the playing field. And you know, as a coach, no game never goes exactly how you planned. But as you go through the game, brother, you restructure yourself. And the last thing, brother, because, you know, this goes back to the church is too busy bickering against itself. You know, when you coach in preseason, right? Your team is playing against what? Your team. But the problem is that you can get injuries that way. And so, brother, to go full force is when you're playing against your opposition. We're so busy keeping in our preseason drills, we're smacking each other up and we're hurting ourselves when we fight against each other.
Yep. Yep. We're unforced errors, Dale. That's what we call it. See, hey, folks, stay with me here now. I don't always do this, but I want to read this to you today. I think it kind of encapsulates what happened this week. And title of this thing I posted at newswithyous.com is called "The Left is Destroying Our Children." Anybody say amen? Hey, guys, listen. The left, let me define this for you. It's not the liberals. It's not Democrats. The left is a godless organization. Okay, do you understand that? It's a communist, godless organization. They are organized, and their entire purpose is to destroy all things Christian. That's the left. You may have some friends who are liberals. You may have some friends who are voting Democrat. You may have some friends who, whatever. They don't even. I was with my brother last night, and I just kind of erupted. Although I didn't really erupt. I said, what the hell is wrong with you? I said, are you for male butt sex? Is that what you're for? Did mom and dad raise us that way that we would be for male butt sex? See, they don't even think. They put us in boxes and we're not even able to be destroyed. I had guys ask me, there was a golf league last night. Yeah, those pirates I play golf with. And some of the guys watch me on Facebook and they ask me, hey, coach, how did a parade go? They knew we had gone to the parade. And then, you know, you can hear them snickering over there because they're all what? Live and let live. Yeah, hell yeah. Live and let live till they come after your grandchild. They're out there trying to recruit your damn grandchild and you don't even know it. And you're in support of them. They're trying to lure your granddaughter into that lifestyle. They're trying to lure your grandson in the public school into that damn lifestyle. You don't even care. I didn't know what to say, because they do care, but they bought this tolerance baloney. I'm okay, you're okay, we can all do whatever we want to. Stay with me, I'm taking you somewhere today. The left is destroying our children. I heard a conservative commentator on TV make a reference to the godless left the other night. As so often happens, we hear and repeat statements that often give validity to a premise that is factually flawed. There is no such thing as a godless person. Everyone serves somebody or something. Admit it or not, Admit it or not, we all find ourselves manipulated by forces beyond our control. For some, it's an addiction, cigarettes, drugs, cell phones, but whatever we give our time to is what we serve. The godless left is not really godless. They are Christless, not godless. Most of the godless left simply serve the god of self. You see it everywhere you look. My body, my choice. Don't judge me. Who are you to tell me what I can do? When you remove the God of the Bible from society, you don't remove God. You simply change the God that is served. The Bible tells us that when there was no king in Israel, the people did what was right in their own eyes. Self is now the king over America. If it feels good, do it. How better to please the God of self than to feed every one of its carnal desires? President Teddy Roosevelt said to educate a child and not train him in morality is to educate a menace to society. Our amoral public schools are destroying our nation, but they're not really amoral, which is void of morality. But self-moral is that right and wrong is determined by the belief system of the individual. Everyone doing what is right in his own eyes. That is the mushy foundation upon which the new America is being built. It's sinking sand. A nation no longer a nation if it doesn't share a common culture. A nation's culture is not determined by skin color or ethnicity or gender, but by a common sense of values. A nation where whim is the determining factor in right and wrong cannot possibly survive. If the truth is constantly changing, like Bruce Jenner's gender, then it was never really truth to begin with. Fake news, fake science, fake education all share the same thing in common. They are all agenda-driven. Truth is shaped and molded to produce a desired outcome. There is no proof of Darwinian evolution or gender confusion, or the existence of God. But our children are being taught in government schools that they can create their own truth simply by manipulating the science. Millions of dollars are spent annually in an attempt to prove evolution, while very little scientific research is funded to prove the existence of God. This is a perfect example of paying science to prove your already believed theory. So much of our current educational system is hell-bent on destroying God that the scientific research is directed explicitly at that target. There is no God, and we can prove it, except they can't, no matter how hard they try. But they can use deception. They can create an educational system totally devoid of the God of the Bible and his precepts for how society is supposed to operate. And that system is called multiculturalism, which is simply a game plan for how to live together without a common set of values. Tolerance has replaced truth. One belief is just as valid as another. Who are you to judge? We are all just one big happy family of divergent truths striving to coexist on the foundation of sinking sand. Our churches are the ones to blame. Instead of fighting for truth and demanding that truth be taught to our children, we've opened the floodgates and permitted the creation of a theological swamp, where truth is merely one of a thousand opinions, and God is recreated to fit the belief system of the individual. When you create your own version of God, you can mold him into your own system of beliefs. The average American church no longer flies the banner of truth. This past weekend, a few dozen of my friends and I took the gospel of Jesus Christ to a local mosque, an abortion clinic, to a homosexual shame parade. In each instance, we were struck by how obvious it is that the left is feasting on our children. I remember as a young man reading where Nikita Khrushchev said, "Give us a generation and we will give you communism. The plan of the devil has always been to infiltrate and mislead. Today in America, all of our major institutions are under the control of the left, including the church, and the fruit of that infiltration can be seen on any street and any town in America. Our children are murdering our grandchildren in abortion clinics around the nation. The homosexualists have seized the government schools to the point that the average American can no longer recognize the evil of male-on-male butt sex. In fact, neither can our churches. The pastors and church leaders are accepting and promoting perversions which fly in the face of the laws of nature and of nature's God. If our churches no longer recognize right from wrong, what hope do our children have? The next generation of Americans has very little in common with the morality of their grandparents. Give them sex, drugs, video games, anything. But Jesus, that's how the left is destroying our children. Below are three short videos of our gospel outreach this past weekend. Watch them and weep. The church is asleep in the light. The devil is eating our children. See, that's it, isn't it? It's not that there's not a God. It's who what that God is and who that God's going to be. And the church, hang on a second, George. The church is so swallowed the bait. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Go ahead, George.
No, I was just going to say to go along with that, you know, the church is, most of the church is teaching people that, hey, you come to God on your terms instead of, no, we come to God on his terms.
That's right.
And it's a huge difference. And you know what? That's really the problem. If we Christians were taught we have to come to God on his terms and do it his way, the leftists, the communists, they wouldn't stand a chance.
Well, George, but who's supposed to hold up that standard? It's supposed to be the church. And the church is just, they're in that theological swamp. The church can't even wreck. Hey, boys, in about every culture in the world, male-on-male sodomy is, are you kidding me? And we celebrate it. What has happened to the mind of Americans that we accept that?
Hey, Coach.
That we accept two men lying in a bed having oral sex with each other. What is wrong with us? Yes.
This is Paul. I was about to say, a lot of it is the New Age philosophy has infiltrated the church.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you, I know last week you may not have had the time to listen to it, but I listened to the broadcast from True News Thursday and Friday. They had a lady on there by the name of Constance Cumby, who was all over it in the 80s and 90s, and it is fascinating. And it tells you and kind of gives you an idea of why the church is the way it is, because a lot of that has infiltrated into the churches, and some well-known ministries are infiltrated, and they're getting money from various organizations and stuff. And that's where I think a lot of it is that it's filtered down. And so that's why you're seeing it. And, you know, my eyes are being opened every day by this. So.
Amen. Amen, Paul. Now, folks, hang on. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Sandy. Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to jump in there because I wanted to agree with you too. What I'm seeing at churches, and there's a particular church I've been attending for a while where I teach, and whenever I first arrived, I mean, these kids didn't even know how to open their Bibles or look up scripture, and that's what I'm seeing a lot, is that they're not getting a solid foundation of, you know, just Christ itself and who he is and how to follow him. And I'm also seeing where it's just all about fun. You know, kids can sit down just like they do in elementary school or just like they do at homeschool around the table, and they can learn about Christ. And that's what I'm seeing a lot. And then also, you know, with some of the youth groups, I mean, they're getting them to join, which is great, but then there's no basis for study. You know, it's fog and disco lights and video games and
entertainment.
And they're showing them, you know, foundations that they don't need to see. I mean, I was never around any of that growing up. So,
you know, Sandy, I'm reminded of about 10 years ago, I was sitting at a table. There were four of us at a table. One of them was a missionary to America from South Africa. You heard me say that right. A missionary to America from South Africa. And I've never forgot what he said. He said, please, don't send us any more of American missionaries.
Wow.
We don't want the American gospel. We want the true gospel.
Amen.
Huh. Now, see, if we were to ask somebody, well, let me veer into it, okay? Let me veer into it. Jared, let's go to the Good Samaritan. Let's go to Luke 10:25. Stay with me. Holy Spirit's going to open your eyes to something here.
Hey, you know, Coach, and as you,
go ahead, Dale.
As you're going there, what Sandy's talking about, these youth groups, I don't believe in generation separation, first off. But the second thing is, brother, you can take all the protein drinks and all the healthy stuff, but if you don't exercise it, brother, it turns to flabby faith. And, brother, that's what's going on in these churches. You can fill them with the Word of God, but if they're not exercising that, it is flabby faith.
Well, look at, hey, Dale, look at Roger. Roger's trying to teach teenagers to be men, and the church leadership doesn't want any part of that. Yes or no, Roger? Yes or no? They want fluff. They want things that make the kids feel good because the parents don't want to have to deal with it. And Roger tries to get into a little bit of depth, and they reject it. Yes or no, Roger?
And it's beyond just teaching, brother. It's taking them out into the field and making them do something with that faith.
Amen. Yep.
Answer the question, David. It is yes, and the smallest minority in the church will get them to stop something. I think the vast majority of people would support the teaching that I was doing, but a small minority, you know, it's always that way. A small minority will stop something because they're afraid of conflict. They're afraid of confrontation, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
All right, so here we go. You ready? Are we in Luke 10:25, Jared? Hey, listen, folks. Oh, Lord, help me connect the dots. Listen. How do I present this? Let's go. I'll as we go through this. 10:25. Are we there? The good parable, of the good Samaritan. Because listen, I want this whole thing with the illegal immigrants and their children. And how we're being manipulated emotionally, all about emotion. Oh, we're separating these kids at the border. Well, what do you think Child Protective Services does? What do you think the military does when the military signs up some guy, puts him over in Germany for 8 months, or sticks him in the sands of Iraq for years, separating the family? What do you think goes on at Planned Parenthood? Separating the family at Planned Parenthood?
Or come on, public schools.
Public schools, wake up here. You're smarter than that, aren't you? You guys take that bait. Rachel Maddow crying, Charles Schumer crying. Are you giving me a break? Huh? Well, watch. I'm going to show you what they do to us. You ready? See, they play on the emotions, first of all. Hey, guys, rarely is an emotional decision a good one. Rarely. Okay? Rarely. But they play on us as Christians and say, oh, how can you be pro-life and let these poor children be put in cages? So I hear it from Christians. I read stuff on the internet from Christians that who have taken the bait that just wants to make, just makes me unbelievable. Hey, folks, well, let's go. Where did I say it was, Jared? I'll find it here in my 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, well, what's it say in the law? How do you read it? How do you read what the law says? And he answering said, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and neighbors yourself. And he said unto him, you've answered right, bud. Do this and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, a lawyer now, said to Jesus, oh, yeah, dude? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, well, let me tell you a story. A certain man, not every man, but a certain man, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. These believers, here we are, a priest and a Levite, two believers. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and said, wow, that's kind of messy. And he passed on over the other side. But a certain Samaritan, by the way, unsaved person, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then on the next day, when he had departed, he took out a couple of dollars out of his pocket. And he gave it to the host. He said, do me a favor. Take care of this guy for me, will you? Whatsoever you spend, if you have to spend more than that, you let me know and I'm going to cover. Which now of these three do you think was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, well, he that showeth mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Okay, so here is the trick that they pull on us. Are you ready? Folks, this is a message to the individual, not to the government. If you as an individual will not open your home to these refugees, you have no business demanding somebody else open their home to them. And so this idea of helping someone downtrodden is a one-on-one personal thing that I do for that person. It is not voting taxes for a government to be benevolent towards people. So what we say, hang on a second. So we hear people say, well, how can you call yourself a Christian and be pro-life and watch those kids in cages? Well, it ain't got nothing to do with that because I'm not there. And if I really wanted to live out my faith, and if those who are compelling me to live out my faith really wanted to live out our faith, we would all go to the border and take those people and bring them into our house. We wouldn't ask our neighbor, the government, to pay for something against their will, okay? It's a big difference here. Go, Larry.
Yeah, you know, first of all, this was not a parable that Jesus told. He told parables to the multitudes. The context, and he turned on him unto his disciples and said privately, back up in verse 23, and those disciples, one of those group, I guess this might have been the group of 70, one of them was a lawyer that asked him this question. And then it says, and he answered. He didn't tell him, I'm going to tell you a story. He answered the concern. And it's not Christians and unchristians. This is not a parable that has to be deciphered because it's difficult to understand. This is Jews. These are the religious Jews, the Levites, the priests. That, you know, the tribe of Levi didn't have an inheritance of land. The priest came out of the tribe of Levi. And then the priest, of course, was a priest. But the Samaritan was not an unbeliever. He was just an other side of the tracks Jew. Samaritans were Jews. The Samaritan was a brother to his brother, the one that was in the ditch. He's the one that cared about him. But so many people think this is a parable. It's not. This is Jesus says a certain.
Amen. Good point, Larry. Good point. Jared, let's go to the first thing says Zelensky. So folks, here's what's going on. First of all, does anybody disagree with what I just said? That this is about personal responsibility, one-on-one. That the care of the needy falls to the individual, not to the government. Not to the government. See, we like the government to take care of it because it doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't taxes. But I don't have to bring him into my house. I'm not complaining, so please take this. Please take this the right way. I know you will. I don't know how many meals my wife served the last 4 days. Ray came over to my house. He did some odds and ends around my house. My wife fed Ray and Johnny Brickeen. I don't have. She's constantly making meals. We didn't go to the YWCA to see if they had any free meals for Ray and Johnny. We took care of them. We fed them. We showed hospitality. And I got to tell you, Mike Blake opened up his house that we all could go come over there and use that beautiful facility, beds and all that kind of stuff. Mike didn't say, hey, go down to the YMCA. See if they got some rooms for you down the YMCA. I'm a member down there. No, he personally opened up his stuff and he gave of his sustenance to us. That's the way that it's supposed to work. But the idea, stay with me now, that the YWCA could send 20 people to Mike Blake's house and make Mike Blake take them in. Folks, that ain't the gospel. That isn't the gospel. But that's what they're trying to convince us of. This is the social gospel. And understand, the social gospel is designed to bring socialism. That's what it's designed to be. Remember I talked about the left, the organized left? That's what's going on here. I'm going to show it to you. I feel somebody's got something to say. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Well, I don't see how we're supposed to kill ourselves to help people necessarily. Now, that's so, I mean, just imagine if you had a country where you have two individuals and they go up to each other and the one says, hey, you're practicing sin, you're sinning, you know, you're a homo, you're this, that, be careful because the law is going to come down on you and you're going to end up in jail if you keep sinning. Imagine if we had laws that were godly laws. Imagine a place where people whispered about their sin to each other because the government would actually support, would follow through on God's laws. You know, imagine that. Imagine if that was the norm. Instead, it's the other way around. And the Christians have to whisper about doing good things.
That's right.
I don't know. It's off subject.
Yeah.
But.
No, that's right. So, look, here's what I want you to see. For some of you, this will be a review. We haven't spoken for this maybe a year since we talked about Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. I want to show you what they're trying to do to us at the border, okay? Hey, Ray LeBlanc, my house is open to you anytime you come. Craig, our house is open. Johnny, our house is open. But as much as I would like to, I can't give you permission to stay at my daughter's house. I can't do that. I can't. And Ray, I'll feed you every day for a year, but I have no right to go get in my daughter's wallet up at her house and make her buy your food. Okay? You guys, you folks do get this, don't you? And so we say, well, let the government do it. Well, the government's doing it, but the government's taking money against your will to do it. There's no spiritual connection there. We have an unrighteous, ungodly government, folks. Here's what's happened to us. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Ready? Number one. Power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. That's why they're out on the streets, because they're trying to give the appearance of power. Okay, going down. I'm going to go through these quickly. I'm going to show you the ones most important. Never go outside the expertise of your people. Saul Alinsky says, if you're going to be effective, work something that the people are confident they can do. Okay, church people aren't confident in doing anything except loving people, sharing the love of Jesus. They don't even do that. Three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. In other words, tell people who don't know what the Bible says, what the Bible says. Do you see what's going on? How can you be a Christian and not take care of those needy people? That's not very Christian. And so we don't know. Because our pastor's up there and he's saying the same thing. So we feel guilty and we won't speak out. Oh, my goodness, we're being so mean to these little children. Go get them yourself. Take them into your house and feed them. Number four, here we go. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. Hey, guys, you think Nancy Pelosi lives up to the Bible? Or does she make us live up to the Bible? Which is going on here? Rachel Maddow on TV crying the other night about these poor, helpless little babies. Is Rachel Maddow living up to what the Bible teaches? Or is she making us live up to what the Bible teaches? Hillary Clinton the other night actually quoting scripture about suffer not the little children to come unto me. And Hillary says, well, and today we want the little children to come to us and suffer. They're trying to make us live up in an ungodly government, live up to godly rule. You see what's going on? And see, we don't have people calling them to account. Where are our Christian leaders standing up in unison and calling out Hillary Clinton? You want to kill babies. You're funding the killing of babies. What are you talking about, Hillary?
What? Yeah, she wants them children. Hey, Coach, she wants them children to come onto her so she can sexually abuse them.
Well, that's another one too, isn't it, brother, huh? And so whose heartstrings are they trying to... You don't think they know what they're doing? You don't think so? All up there crying about the children, crying about... You remember Alien Gonzalez? Remember when old Janet Reno had him bust in his house and take him away from his family? Come on, see, we are so gullible. That's why I got so mad at my brother. How damn stupid are you? But they are. They're stupid. We're stupid. And we don't get the game. And if we don't understand the game, see, they tell us we have got to give to the poor because why? That's what the Bible says you have to do. The leftists tell us. And we say, oh, yeah, guys, they're right. We are supposed to, all the good Samaritans, yeah, we are supposed to do that. And they just manipulate us. Manipulate us. Listen, do they let you, this gospel that they're trying to spread, do they let you bring the gospel into the school? Well, why don't they let you bring the gospel into the school? Because they're not trying to bring the gospel anywhere. They're trying to destroy the gospel, but they're forcing you to live up to the set of rules that they determine Christians need to follow. I get tired of Christians, of non-Christians telling me how I should live. Yes.
You know, and they're ramping it up, and you're right. Most Americans are asleep. You know, this communist revolution really started in 08 when Obama got in, and it's been relatively peaceful. You know, I mean, they make it palatable for people to swallow. But look at what's starting to happen. You're seeing more and more violence. I think if things don't change, you're going to see a lot more violence here in the next year or two. And people are sleeping. I guess my question is, what's it going to take to wake people up out of this stupor?
Well, they're not going to, George, because they're going to churches who are drinking this same bilge. This same bilge. Listen, if you really want to help the people on the border, go get them and bring them into your house. But don't make me do it. That's between me and the Lord. And if I'm really a Christian, then I am going to reach out to my Christian brothers and sisters who are in need, and I do that. But I'm sure as H-E-L-L, not going to demand the government take care of them. I thought there was a separation between the church and the state. I thought morality was personal. Yet the government's telling the church how the church should behave. Can't you see it? They murder babies. They light up the White House with rainbow colors and then tell us how we're supposed to treat children. It's the devil. It's the stinking devil. Deception. I'm ticked off. Weenie Christians can't even see it. You go to my Facebook page and there they are whining about the children. Well, you know what? If I'm smuggling drugs and I got my kid in the car with me, it ain't the law enforcement's problem if they separate mommy and daddy. They're breaking the stinking law. They come across the border, they're breaking the law. It's dad's fault for bringing them. Not my fault that they got separated.
Amen, Coach.
Just call Child Protective Services. They'll separate them for you. Let them find out that you don't want to vaccinate your children. You're not going to vaccinate your children. Watch Child Protective Services come and separate mommy from their children. Yes or no? See, they don't have any problem ripping babies out of mommy's womb and separating them. They just have problems ripping them out of mommy's arms at the border. Can't you see how we're being played? Yes.
Most of those kids aren't even that are coming across the border with these adults. That is not even their parents.
Probably not.
They're gang members.
They're
like MS-13.
We're missing the point. We are missing the point, see. The point is, it's, hey, dudes, it's just as Christian to follow the law. That's just as Christian as helping somebody who broke the law.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, they had an interview on one of the Border Patrol officers. So this is coming from a Border Patrol officer yesterday. I heard it yesterday. And he was saying these little girls, 10 and 12 years old, are having, they have Plan B pills in their pocket. And he says, you know why? And he was telling the news, he said, because the parents are using their children as sex to pay to get them into America. Their little children. These parents are wicked.
Amen, bro.
Well.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't get – you guys understand what's going on with Zelensky? That's what I'm let me go to this. I bet Right Wing Watch is fuming now. Kyle, you're not going to know what to put up there today, buddy. Let's go to Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh.
Well, what we want, what we will know is what he won't put up there, and that is truth, Coach.
That's right. Matt Walsh gave a speech. You guys have known he's a blogger, writer. Here's Satan's simple plan to destroy Christianity in America. Slide on down quite a bit, Jared, because this is these are excerpts from a speech that he gave. But I want to read this because I think this is it's what we're talking about. Okay, it's what we're talking about. Okay, let's start right at the beginning, Jared. I'm sorry. Right there. Catholic blogger and American pundit Matt Walsh outlined in a recent speech Satan's tactics for destroying Christianity in America. Satan has two battle plans or modes of attack that he uses throughout history to attack Christians, as Walsh explains. Go on down there. The first is the old school blood martyr persecution. It's very simple and very straightforward. Kill the Christians. That's mode number one. Walsh told his audience that Satan is using this tactic on Christians who are being persecuted across the world on an unprecedented scale. And although the media and the church in the USA largely ignore it, the reality is that the ground all over the globe is soaked in Christian blood. Can somebody say amen? See, we're Americanized Christians. We're Americanized. We think we're being persecuted. We're persecuted if somebody unfriends us on Facebook, right? People are being slaughtered for Christ around the globe. A recent report tells us that Christian persecution and genocide is worse now than it's ever been in history, which is an astounding fact, Walsh says. But Satan is using a different tactic to attack Christians in America. After describing the martyrdom of some pilgrims in Egypt, Walsh compared their heroism to the laziness of Christians in America. These Christians are willing to give up everything for Christ, Walsh writes. How many of us are willing to give up anything, let alone everything? Most of the so-called believers in this country will lash out angrily if you so much as suggest that they give up watching certain TV shows or listening to certain music. They'll explode in fury if you urge them to change their lifestyle to any degree whatsoever. And yet we think we possess the conviction and faith to just go up our lives, to give up our lives for Christ. Let's face it, most of us would grovel and weep at the feet of our Muslim captors and recite whatever Quranic prayer they want us to recite if it came to life and death. Therefore, to the Satan, Americans, Christians simply, listen to this, Americans simply aren't worth killing. Walsh theorized these Christians are so spiritually lazy and so comfortable with their sinful ways that they aren't any threat to Satan. This is Satan's strategies for us, Americans, he said. This is Plan B. It's far more effective. This is how the church has been subjugated in America. We have bent our knees in submission to the forces of evil. And they haven't even fired a shot. Why would the demons waste their time tormenting someone who's already walking to hell of his own volition. He said that the situation has been being made worse because the church in America has been infiltrated by its own enemies. Do what you want. Don't worry about sin. Let's be tolerant. Let's be welcoming. Let's be accepting. This is the message preached not just by the media in Hollywood, it's preached from our pulpits. Faithful Christians who want to live according to Christ's teachings are alienated and disregarded by their shepherds. And we'll read that again, and then you can all say amen. Faithful Christians who want to live according to Christ's teachings are alienated and disregarded by the shepherds. Everybody can say amen right there.
Amen.
Satan himself speaks from the mouths of many priests and many pastors in this country, Walsh said, urging their flocks to conform with the culture, making the Orthodox feel silly or even bigoted or trying to rise above the standards of this world. When Christians do drag themselves to church, he said, desperate for guidance, they're given nothing. Most pulpit. Walsh blames American Christian softness on having and fulfilling too many competing material desires. This prevents us from desiring God, he said. Walsh added that he was very frightened that when such Christians meet God face to face, many will be forced to admit that they do not want God, only themselves. So I said, God is self. To stop this from happening, Walsh recommended prayer, first of all, because prayer changes us, making us desire this sacred more than the sinful less. You start to find that a lot of the music you listen to and a lot of the shows that you watch no longer appeal to you. You find that certain sins and temptations have less of a stronghold on you. That desire, the desire for God, is kindled and we know it. We start to feel it. And that's the crucial thing for us, to want the right thing. Because I believe that the truth is, in the end, we will all be given exactly what we want. And that is a terrifying reality.
Amen.
That's it, isn't it? That's it. They're killing us with comfort. They're killing us with this fake gospel of fake love, false love, not understanding what love is. That's why children are out of control in the home. Parents don't understand discipline is love. Parents don't understand the guidelines are love. People don't understand that. We in our schools, the LGBTQRS movement is so strong that we want to make children feel so good about themselves that we say, oh, you have homosexual tendencies. Oh, we love you. Come on in here. Embrace them. Be who you are. See, the gospel is exact opposite. The gospel is exactly opposite. The gospel is die to yourself. Reject that sin. Turn to Christ. That's the gospel. Not come however you are and we welcome you and love you in your sin. Somebody help me out here.
Yes. Hey, coach. It's ridiculous. CPS, I would say CPS is the biggest child trafficking agency, but it's not true. It's the UN. Why do we suffer all these freaks who are just preying on our children? I think we need to start stringing them up. I mean, I shouldn't say stuff like that, I guess, out loud, but I don't know.
Because they're using our rules against us.
Yeah.
See, we still think, God bless America, land that I love. And we sing that, and we get feeling all warm and fuzzy, and we think we're a good nation and a good government and a good people. And we're not. We're wicked. We're wicked. We kill babies. We don't stay. Oh, we're wicked. What is it, the Church of Laodicea? Think you're rich and need nothing, but you're wretched, miserable. And that wasn't that the Church of Laodicea? That's us, the American church, American Christians. Here I say,
Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, Roger.
They do not call butt sex sin.
No.
The church is not calling it sin.
No, no. That's why I said, why would our children call it sin? The church isn't.
Right.
The church is saying it's okay. Oh, you want to have butt sex with Johnny? Good. Well, maybe you can go to seminary and someday you can be a priest here, a pastor here.
I mean, Coach.
Yeah, it's amazing. Sandy.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you're talking about some of the stuff that's happening in schools. I know, like up here in the mountains this past year, they just started having their kids can actually choose what gender they should be, especially if they're feeling one way or the other. One of the schools in the mountains, one of the women is actually beginning to give her child hormones. And anyways, it's just scary whenever your kids are around all of that kind of stuff. And they're not talking about it publicly. So it's not something where all these other parents are aware. So it's scary.
So Sandy, why do we allow it to go on? Why do we allow, folks, this is so serious. Why do we allow the indoctrination of our precious children into homosexuality? I'm asking the question. Why do the churches permit this to go on?
Because they've been suborned.
Because Alinsky told everybody to make them live up to their own standards. What are our own standards? Love everybody. Except that's not what the gospel teaches. Do you understand? Do you understand what they've done? They've taught us a false gospel and then make us live up to it. Hey, guys, you do know this. The scripture says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Who could be against helping needy children? Who could be against that?
Hey, Coach. Yeah. Go to John chapter 4, verse 15, and here we're going to see what the gospel is. He says, a great light has come.
Hang on, we're catching up with you. John 4, 15?
4, 15, 16, and 17, brother. This is the gospel.
All right, 4, 15.
This is not, that's not what I got. That's not it. Let me see. Matthew chapter 4. Sorry. Matthew chapter 4.
That happens to me every once in a while, brother.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
They're all diverse anyway. They're all tolerated.
Okay, so here's Jesus coming out of the desert, brother. Here is the gospel. Go ahead. Bring it.
The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, and the people which sat in darkness. Wow. Huh? Does that mean they don't have lights? No lights in their living room? Is that what it's saying?
Come on, brother.
The people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up.
This is what sprung upon him.
And from that time, when that light showed up, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
That's the gospel.
That word's not even allowed in the church, is it? That R word, repent? Huh? Repent. By the way, that often said. John the Baptist. Jared, go back to Matthew 3, Jared. Well, John the Baptist, the forerunner, what's message is it? Was he preaching? And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen. And this is the good news, brother. Gospel means good news. And where there is no repentance, there's no forgiveness of sin. Therefore, there's no good news that Jesus is going to tell you. The gospel is bringing forth that great bright light. Darkness, men sat in darkness, and a light came and shone upon them. And what was it? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the gospel. Amen.
The very first thing Jesus taught us to pray after we identify who God is and give him praise, the very first thing we're to ask for is, thy kingdom come. Jesus started with God's kingdom. Repent, because the kingdom is here. And that's to be the uppermost thing in our hearts as we communicate with God is let's.
Jude, real quick. Sorry, Larry. Didn't mean to step on you there. I'm looking at the clock. Jude. Where is it, coach? Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Rachel Maddow, the list goes on and on and on. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Keep your eyes open. For the enemy roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's eating our kids right out of our hands. We'll see you tomorrow.